Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update from the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, learn about the upcoming Honor Flight Twin Cities, and check in with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
The Minnesota National Guard is an organization of professionals. On this team, we have no place for sexual assault or harassment of any kind. We owe it to our fellow soldiers and airmen to create a culture and an environment where everyone feels safe and respected. Each soldier and airman plays a role in the prevention of sexual assault and harassment. It starts with each and every one of us, and it ends with me. As the leader of this organization, I want to be very clear that I will not tolerate sexual misconduct of any kind in our force. I hold each of you responsible for your actions and the actions of those you lead. You have an obligation to report anything you see that goes against our values. We have an opportunity to stop this behavior at the source, preventing it from becoming a larger issue in our force. We are committed to supporting victims, and we want you to know that you are not alone. We encourage anyone who has experienced sexual assault or harassment in this organization to come forward. There are many resources available for victims of sexual assault and harassment. We have trained advocates who can provide caring, compassionate, and confidential assistance throughout the healing process. Our people are our most valuable assets. We're only at our strongest when we all stand together. And when we stand together, there's nothing we cannot overcome.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Butch Whitehead, the adjutant of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. Butch, welcome back to the studio. We haven't seen you for a while.
Thanks, Tom. It's always great to be back here.
You've had some busy years, lots of activity.
We've definitely been busy at the DAV. We've been doing a lot of great things over there.
And we just had a great big event over at the state capitol, Vets Day on the Hill. How'd that go?
Vets Day on the Hill was a great turnout. We had well over 500 people that showed up. And, you know, we had that little pre-rally that people, we served some little sandwiches, kind of got them all motivated, energized, and then we marched over together to the Capitol. And, Tom, I got to tell you, this year, walking over together, having that many veterans walking in one line really had a great presence. But really what capped it off was going up the steps. There were some high school or elementary kids that were there clapping and thanking us for our service, and it gave a lot of veterans, you know, goosebumps and just really made them feel really good. We couldn't time it any better.
A lot of veterans have never seen or felt or heard that, especially my area of Vietnam. We didn't get thanked.
Exactly.
So that had to be impressive.
It was very impressive.
But then you went into the rotunda. What happened from there?
You know, going into the rotunda, it was a great turnout. You know, having Governor Walz speak, you know, he's a great speaker the way it is. You know, his energy really filled that room and got everybody excited to even more. But then we really talked heavily and a lot about our property tax bill that we're really trying to focus on getting for our spouses of our veterans to make sure they can stay in their house longer.
Now, it's my understanding, Butch, that when a veteran dies, or if a veteran is eligible to get some real estate tax break because of his service to the country and because he's disabled, he's earned it. But when the veterans die, the spouse is only eligible to continue with that tax break for so many years?
That is correct. So how the law is currently written, Tom, is the spouse gets 8 years, and after 8 years, that goes away. And our big change that we're trying to get changed this year is to eliminate the 8 years and make it where that spouse can stay in that house as long as he or she needs to. And also, we ask for a one-time transfer. So if a spouse needs to maybe downsize, he or she needs to go to a smaller house, maybe move closer to the kids, they can still gain that benefit and make it truly a benefit for that spouse.
Well, this is really important because 8 years after the veteran dies, the spouse isn't getting a raise.
No. And, you know, think about it. The spouses are caregivers. A lot of them are leaving their place of work early in their life, so they don't have a retirement package that they're living off of. And they're living off of their veteran's probably compensation, the disability check. And when that spouse, the veteran passes, they now go down to the DIC amount, which is around $1,200, $1,300 a month. That's all they're living off of, especially those that don't have a retirement package. That's hard to live off of. And now you're going to throw a property tax back at them, where someone were $5,000-$6,000 annually. You can't live in that. You can't make it work.
So this is really important. It's something that we hope our listeners will call their state elected officials and say, come on, guys, let's get this passed this year so we take care of the spouses of the veterans.
Exactly. Especially this year, we actually had the county assessors, you know, that really supported it as well. They sent us a letter saying, hey, we get it. We understand this. We have the backing of the counties now. So let's make sure we get this done this year.
Of what you understand, the veterans who were there, those that made appointments, had an opportunity to meet with their elected official from their region.
Yep. So after the rotunda presentation, we actually had the veterans go up and start knocking on their representatives' doors and have a chance to visit with them. And it was really a great picture. Those that actually seen it, well, have seen these veterans walk in the hallways and knocking on the doors of their representatives that represent us. You know, as the governor said, the Capitol is our home. You know, that's the place to work.
Elected officials are probably thinking, we've just been invaded by our veterans.
I hope they did have that feeling. I hope so.
Sit up and pay attention. We're talking to Butch Whitehead, the adjutant of the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Butch, one of the things we've talked about since I've known you for years now is the wonderful work that the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota is doing to provide vans to get our veterans to and from their medical appointments. And that program has grown just enormously over the last few years.
It really has, Tom. You know, go back to, I think, this is what, our fourth year, fifth year knowing each other and doing these shows. I think around 8 or 10 at that time, we're up to 35 vans now that are stationed across the state of Minnesota transporting veterans to and from the VA medical appointments. You know, this last year in 2018, Minnesota volunteer drivers drove 1.1 million miles in these vans transporting veterans to and from their medical appointment, which equaled out to be about 32,000 veterans that we transported that got to their medical appointment.
Now, there's two things I want to talk about there. Number one is how you pay for the vans, but number two, maybe more important, all of the drivers are volunteers, and you need drivers all over Minnesota.
Absolutely, Tom. You know, that program would not be as successful if it wasn't for our volunteers. Every one of our vans are driven by a volunteer. They're not being compensated for anything. We might give them a DAV hat or a T-shirt, you know, thanking them for what they're doing, but each and every mile is driven by a volunteer, and we're always in need of volunteers. If you are able to and have a few extra hours, please reach out to the DAV of Minnesota and learn how you can become a volunteer driver.
And you don't have to be a veteran. You just have to have a clean driving record and a good heart and want to help our veterans
Absolutely.
Get to their appointments.
Absolutely.
So if you go to davmn.org, you'll find all the information on that program. And now you've put all these vans out there and you're replacing vans. Where's the money come from?
You know, our donations are critical to us. In order to be a nonprofit and be successful, we have a clothing donation program that probably brings in 60% of our revenue. People that no longer need the clothing or household items, they donate to us. We sell it to a third party. And that revenue that we get from that is really what's allowing us to continue to buy new vans and replace the vans that get too many miles on. As you heard, driving a million miles, you put the miles on it pretty quick.
You burn them up. Now, you've got some great partners in this with the County Veteran Service Officers and Veterans for Veterans. You've got a lot of partnerships out there to help pull this off.
Absolutely. You know, V4V, Veterans for Veterans, they've been a great, great support of ours and given us four different grants to help us get some vans, particularly the new program we just started down in Rochester. They helped us buy two new vans for that program with a grant. The County Veteran Service Officers are a huge, huge part of this program because they help us do the scheduling of it. You know, it takes that plate off there, you know, so they can truly focus on helping veterans with their benefits or anything they need help with and allows us to come into transport. But the County Veteran Service Officers are a huge part of it.
And, of course, they're a huge part of anything veteran because if our veterans out there have any questions, need any resources, need any help from anything that started from their service to our country, whether it's an injury or a problem, any questions, the first place to start is County Veteran Service Officers because they make a habit of finding out all the resources available.
Absolutely. They have the resources at the state and federal level. They know where to go to get the resources that a veteran needs to help him or her through whatever problems they're having.
Now, with this van program, does the DAV get any support from National?
We do get some support from National. We actually have a partnership with Ford Foundation that we get a discount on the vehicles through our National DAV. That helps lower the price of the vans, as well as we're able to apply for a grant through our DAV Foundation as well.
So you've got a lot of partners that make this work.
And we need those partners, and thank all those partners that are out there.
And once again, we need drivers, and I understand you need them down in some new areas. Rochester?
Rochester is a big area. We just kicked that off here the first of the year, and we need drivers. Anybody who's able to, please reach out to us. We need drivers for the Rochester. We have five new vans going down, running daily trips to either Minneapolis or even just to Rochester's community-based outreach center.
And even if you've only got one day a month, one day a week, a couple hours, go to davmn.org. And become a volunteer driver and help get our veterans to their medical appointment.
That is correct.
Butch, we got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the DAV of Minnesota with Butch Whitehead on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Butch Whitehead, the adjutant of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. And Butch, we were talking about Veterans Day on the Hill, a lot of people up there this year, and hopefully some of our listeners will call their elected officials and tell them to get behind some of those initiatives that the Commander's Task Force has put together. Can they find those initiatives on your website?
Yep, you can go to our website. They're on our website as well. All of the initiatives, especially the top four this year, are right there on our website.
So davmn.org.
That is correct.
And then, of course, we've been talking about your van program, which is incredible. It has to be one of the biggest programs in the country, isn't it?
It is. You know, when you look at the, you know, across the nation, and obviously I see a lot of them out there, we might not have the most numbers of vans out there, but we're definitely number one in the nation when it comes to miles driven and the number of veterans being transported. Absolutely.
Well, another time for Minnesota to take the lead taking care of their veterans and their families. Well,
that's what we're known for, be number one.
Okay, now all of these things that the DAV of Minnesota does, it's one of the busiest veteran service organizations that I've seen, costs money. And part of that, you make some money with your clothing drives. Yep. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the clothing program that we have right now is across the state, you'll see our green DAV bins, or here in the metro, you'll actually have the DAV trucks that go around door to door. And we actually take calls, anybody wants to donate any household items, clothing items that they no longer need. We take those donations in and we sell it to a third party such as Savers, and then the revenue that we make off of that sale is what we use for our fundraising.
And if people have household items or clothing, they can, and if it's too much just to bring to one of those bins, they can call you and they'll pick them up.
Yep, you can call us, and then also if they want, they can go directly to one of our Saver stores that are designated to us, and you know, we still make the revenue off of that as well when they go to the consumer goes to the store as well.
So information on the clothing opportunity is also at davmn.org.
Yep.
And then you still do your annual golf event?
Oh, yeah, and I was just neck deep in that yesterday, Tom, sending out the emails. Of course, you know all about this golf stuff. But
we've
you know,
done a few of those.
Yes, we have. Our golf event's coming up here on June 13th. And, you know, that is our biggest fundraiser other than the clothing, that we actually get corporations, hopefully, to be able to sponsor a team and come in and help us raise some money for buying these vans. All the money raised off these golf vans go buying vans. So it's a clearly designated account.
And what other type of fundraisers do you have during the year?
And then here in May, we do our 5K Old Glory Run up in St. Joseph. So we actually have runners that, you know, spring's finally here. People are finally getting on to be able to run. So if you were interested and want to, or if you're a runner, you can go to our website and you can sign up and register to be in our 5K run as well.
And, of course, once again, davmn.org. Yep. I might even remember that by the end of the show.
You might. I think so, Tom. I think you got it down.
We'll see how that works. Now, there's two parts of the DAV, and I haven't asked you this before, so it's probably a loaded question. There's all the things that you do in the fundraising and the vans, but then there's a DAV foundation.
Yes. So our foundation is the giving arm of our entity. So they are the ones that are out there collecting some corporate donations, and then they turn around and are actually helping not only the DAV programs, but other veteran programs that are out there as well. Our foundation is truly the giving arm. So we give money to homelessness. We give money to such as MACV. We give money to other outdoor events to help get veterans out in the outdoors. We've given money to help with the state veterans homes. You know, wherever we can make sure that the veterans are getting the help that they need, we want to make sure we can.
So how does the foundation accept donations?
The foundation accepts donations. You can go to the davmn.org, and you can click on the foundation. There's a link right there showing you how you can make some donations to us.
And there's some information in there on your budget and how you spend the money. And
yep.
It's pretty transparent.
We're very transparent. This is the first year you actually go to our website. You'll see our annual report. I published an annual report here 3 weeks ago that's out there on our website. You can see where everything goes. We're very transparent where every one of our pennies goes, so everybody knows that we're truly doing what we say we do when you make a donation to us.
We're speaking with Butch Whitehead, the adjutant from the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Butch, one of the things that seems to me it's a summer-fall deal, but there are a lot of events where we're trying to get our veterans, our disabled veterans, out of the house, out into some fresh air, and feel like people again.
Absolutely. You know, we're coming to a time of the year where, you know, getting veterans in the outdoors, being around other veterans, take some of the stressors out of their life. Let them get back out and do things that they maybe once enjoyed when they're a little younger, maybe where they weren't as disabled as they are right now. Here, the first week of May, we have our Disabled Veterans Turkey Hunt coming up at Camp Ripley that the Veterans Service Community, the American Legion, the DAV, the VFW, come together, and we put in the Veterans Helping Veterans, or Veterans for Veterans, we come together, and we bring up 50 veterans up to Camp Ripley, and we do a turkey hunt. We get them back out in the woods. We put a guide with each one, a helper, and just the smiles on those veterans' face goes, you know, every penny is worth it.
And, of course, Camp Ripley is a state facility. It's used by the Minnesota National Guard and other Guard units, but also by MnDOT and the Highway Patrol and a lot of other organizations. But from what I've observed in the last 9 years, they go out of their way to help the veteran service organizations and get our disabled veterans out.
They really do. You know, that camp up there, they bend over backwards for us when we come up there. I mean, that team of full-time military up there, they really help us. They have volunteers that come out of the woodwork to making sure that everything goes smoothly. So we're very proud to be able to go up to Camp Ripley on those.
And there'll be some fall hunts up there?
We'll have a disabled veterans deer hunt, but then in June, we have our Trolling for Troops event as well. So go to our website, go to davmn.org, and you can click on the outdoor events, and you can see all of our activities coming up. But again, those events wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the partnership that we have between the American Legion, the DAV, the VFW, Paralyzed Veterans of America, you name it. We were working together to make sure that happens.
Also known as the Commander's Task Force.
Exactly.
You get together monthly and talk about all the events coming up and the legislative initiatives and add your collective memberships together to go up on the hill and try to be heard.
Absolutely. You know, and the thing you said there, Tom, we want to make sure I put out there is the membership. You know, we're here because of what all of our brothers and sisters did before us, and we're here to make sure that those that are coming behind us have the benefits and things that they can do. So the membership into each one of those organizations are critical as well, but understand is we do these events because we want to. It's not because of the membership. You don't need to be a member of our organizations to participate. It's really there for any veteran out there to make sure they can do things.
And the CTF represents great partnership between all those veteran service organizations. It gets better every year.
It does. It gets stronger and stronger every year.
Butch, I've had a great time talking about the DAV of Minnesota so far. We just got about a minute left. The national office, I understand you are the senior vice of the DAV across the nation.
I am, Tom. Currently on my national senior vice tour right now, and if everything falls away, I'm hoping it does here come this August. I'm hopefully be elected by our 1.7 million members to be our next DAV national commander.
Well, I'm sure that's going to happen. I'll give you the first vote.
There you go.
And I want to formally invite you to appear on the show several times as national commander. I hope you won't turn me down.
I won't turn you down. I'll gladly be here, Tom.
And then we'll be waiting for you to come home after that year and get back to work.
Exactly.
Butch, any final thoughts about davmn.org?
You know, obviously, we're very proud of what we do. You want to learn, our website has a lot of great information on it. So please go out and visit our website, davmn.org, and you can learn a lot of great things. And you know what? Volunteers. We always need volunteers. If you have time, I don't care if it's a couple hours a month, a couple hours a week, please reach out to us.
And you've got some great people on your staff and a lot of good volunteers, including drivers from all over Minnesota. We need those drivers.
Absolutely.
So go to that website, davmn.org, and volunteer to be a driver. We don't care if it's 4 hours a week or one day a month. We need you to help get our veterans to their medical appointments.
Absolutely.
Butch, thanks for joining us again.
Tom, thanks for having me on. It's always been a pleasure.
Butch Whitehead, the adjutant from the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to Twin Cities Honor Flight and find out what the schedule is for 2019. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs offers disaster relief assistance when a natural disaster strikes. Disaster relief assistance provides up to $1,000 in reimbursement to veterans and dependents that live in an area affected by natural disaster, such as tornado or flooding. This assistance is available when a declared state of emergency by the governor of Minnesota. Veterans and dependents must provide receipts verifying proof of approved expenditures listed per the type of disaster. Please contact your county Veterans Service Officer for more information or assistance in applying for disaster relief benefits. Find your CVSO by calling 1-888-LINK-VET, MDVA's one-stop customer service line for Minnesota veterans and their families.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In May of 2004, our nation completed the construction of the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., to commemorate the sacrifices of the greatest generation. Sadly, because of their age, financial constraints, or health concerns, many of these veterans may not have an opportunity to see their monument. However, there was an answer to that, and here to talk about it today is Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flight Twin Cities. Jerry, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure. You always do a great job for us.
Well, Jerry, I want to go back just a little bit. Honor Flight nationally has transported a lot of veterans from all over the United States out to Washington, D.C.
Yes, since they started in 2005, 222,000 veterans of all sorts, and about 162,000 guardians go on those flights since November of 2005.
And how did you and your wife get involved with Honor Flight Twin Cities?
Well, I've been involved with a couple of big aviation flyovers in the Twin Cities on 2007 and 8, and I was contacted by a director of Honor Flight. He was from St. Paul, but he's living in Ohio. And he talked to me about doing this, and I'd never heard about it before. My father, being a World War II officer in Patton's Army, he had passed away, and I was never able to really honor him. And I thought, and my mother passed away. She was a Red Cross nurse. And I thought, wow, this would be a great thing for our organization, Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity, at that time, and just for us to do this for our veterans here in Minnesota.
And you're a Vietnam vet?
Yes, sir. I did volunteer for two tours in Vietnam from 68 to 70. I was a helicopter, machine gunner, crew chief, and I actually learned to fly them over there.
And sometime after that, you learned how to fly fixed-wing aircraft, and you kind of like doing that too.
Oh, yeah. I'm blessed with this. I'm a pilot with the Commemorative Air Force, and I fly some of their airplanes, and I have my own aerobatic airplane, but doing that for 50 years.
Now, Jerry, I understand that you started the Honor Flights here, Honor Flight Twin Cities, in 2008. How many veterans have you taken out to Washington, D.C.?
The count as of today is, including the ones we're going on 17 of this World War II, 1,600 World War II veterans, about 250 Korea veterans, and in that we do take terminally ill Vietnam veterans. I think over the 10 years we've taken seven.
And you've had 20 honor flights to date?
Yes, and the next one on the 21st of April will be our 21st.
And you got another one scheduled for this fall?
November, correct. I haven't got a contract yet with our favorite airline, Sun Country, and hopefully they're listening and they'll get me a contract.
Now, Jerry, we had the pleasure to accompany you on an honor flight a couple of years ago, and it's a long day. It starts real early in the morning and goes right to the end of the day.
Yes, sir. They get up at 4. They're at the airport at 5, and we're airborne at 6. By the time we get to Washington and disembark and get on the buses, we're at the Iwo Jima Memorial at about 10:15.
The one thing that surprised me the whole day, I was worn out, by the way, and we went out there and did all those interviews, as you recall. But I thought on the way back from D.C. those veterans would sleep. They weren't having any part of that, were they?
Absolutely not. They are energized. Their life so far in that age group, they're all the youngest would be 91. They're thinking about how long they're going to be living, and we take them out of that. It's a spiritual, emotional, physical day where we put them back into the military and with their battle buddies and people they've never met before, and we put them back into their life. It was 50 to 70 years ago, and it's a joy for them to be back and and just be involved with the whole thing.
We're speaking with Jerry Kaiser about Honor Flight Twin Cities on Minnesota Military Radio. Jerry, when we went, my son accompanied me, and my son, as you know, was in the Navy.
Yes.
And you put him together with a World War II Navy veteran, and I sat and watched them all day, and they were talking like two kids still back on the ship.
That's the joyous thing about this whole program. It just puts people together one-to-one, and then, of course, just the attitude that they have, they're back in their they're back in their 20s again, and they're just having the delight. They're treated like royalty there. We call them all. We drive around in escorted buses just like El Presidente. We go through stop signs, and people look at them, and they stop, and they salute our buses as we go by because it's on the marquee. And so we are well taken care of, and it's really wonderful.
So, Jerry, your mission started out, you wanted to get our World War II veterans out to see the World War II Memorial, and it's expanded to Korean War veterans and some of my generation, our generation, Vietnam have gone. But these World War II veterans, what's it cost them to go?
It doesn't cost them anything. They go free 100%. They've already paid their dues for this.
And they each have a guardian?
Yes, they do. We require that because it's really needed. We want to treat them like a four-star general, and they always got a partner taking care of them. So that is the truth. They really enjoy that. And most of them have a family member. About 85% now are with a family member. And we have hundreds and hundreds of men and women who want to be guardians. They contribute a $500 stipend to help us, 100% tax deductible because we are a nonprofit organization. And I just looked today, we have 375 people on that waiting list to be guardians.
And the guardians pay to go on the flight?
Well, they're contributing to our organization of $500 of the large amount of money it takes to do that.
And what's the average cost of the airline, or the cost of the trip?
The cost is about $87,000 to $90,000, depending on what happens that particular trip. $60,000 for the airplane.
So if you've got a World War II or Korean veteran in your family, the quickest way to get on the honor flight is to accompany them and bring them in and introduce them to you and get them on one of these next flights.
Right. If they've got a World War II veteran, he's on the next flight or she's on the next flight. We do have one woman World War II veteran on this one.
Jerry, I don't know if you recall, but we interviewed one veteran who was a Korean War veteran in a wheelchair when we were along with you. And we got up to the Korean War Veteran Memorial. And he told us a story about he was in the back lines in Korea, and he saw a pheasant going up, and he tried to shoot him with his 45 and couldn't get it, so he took the machine gun and shot him down. We asked him what was left for lunch, and he said no. I got a call about a year ago from his daughter who was with him, and he left us. He died. Uh-huh. And she wanted to know if she could get a copy of that interview, and we took care of her. She said that when he got home, he was just flying for a week. He was absolutely thrilled.
Well, I agree with that. It's a life changing event. Everyone that I've ever taken on this, their family members, and they say, you know, he's a changed person. We want them to talk about what they did. They're reluctant heroes. They don't think they really deserve anything, and at this time, they are kind of forgotten. And so we bring that back, and that's the joy that I have. And my wife, both of us have that for this. So we're able to give this back to these veterans and their families. And some of these men, some 17th Airborne, who jumped into the Rhine just at the end of World War II, they've got together and they're still meeting. Those that are still kicking in Roseville.
And the other thing I thought was interesting, Jerry, is you were ready. You had wheelchairs for them out there. When we started the day, I think there was only about 10 or 12 that used the wheelchair. But by the end of the day, you had them a little worn out. But you had about 30 or 40 wheelchairs, so we took care of everybody, got them dinner, and got them back on the plane.
Well, we're blessed by having the VA. They give me 20. They used to give me 60. That was quite a chore to get that many there. But I have them pre-positioned already in Washington. And 30 of them, and then I take 20 along so I can easily get them off the airplane. And I need a wheelchair about 4:30.
Not you. I see you're energized that day, too. Jerry, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about Honor Flight Twin Cities on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Whoa. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Jerry Kaiser about Honor Flight Twin Cities. And Jerry, before we get too deep into what happens on this trip, you've got a lot of volunteers, and of course, your wife is the biggest volunteer, and she keeps you on track.
She's absolutely the best. I could not do this without her. This particular flight, we've had over 110 changes of the personnel going on it.
And unfortunately, that's because some of these guys are getting so old.
Well, yeah, all sorts of different reasons, and you're right. Some of them passed away, and some of them got sick and got to do something else. So we call it fluid.
Fluid. All right. You have to be flexible, Jerry. Stay with it.
We're flexible.
I want to walk through the day. This is going to be Saturday, April 27th, 2019. I think we got up about 3:30, 4 o'clock, had to get out to the airport by 5 in the morning, and then you had everything greased out there so they could get on the planes and Sun Country Charter, and off we go to Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir.
Walk us through the day, Jerry.
Well, we're on the way out at 6 o'clock, hopefully. And it takes a 2.5 hour, and we lose an hour on the way out. And we have a great time there. On the way out there, we have some events that we do on the airplane that make them pretty happy. And then when we finally arrive there at 9:30, we get on off the buses and get to the, with the wheelchairs and everything, to the Iwo Jima Memorial at about 10:15. I get them disembark, and they all crowd around that. If it was bad weather or whatever the situation, I get all the Marines off, and usually I have a bugler on there one way or another, and we do an honoring of those lost in the Marine Corps and everywhere else, the first right there, and that's
great photo opportunity with all those guys.
Oh, it is. I've had some famous shots that have been taken there, and it's great. I feel deeply for them.
And you load them back on the bus and off to the next one.
Yes, we go up to the Air Force Memorial, which overlooks the Pentagon and where the 9/11 action was, where they hit. But we're there, and we. It's a great place. You can oversee the Pentagon and all the way over into Washington. So we're there for a period of time and take pictures and do what they need to do. It's a nice, and the bathrooms are nice there too.
And then you're off to the Women's Memorial and a box lunch.
Yes, and that's a great place. We can put all 172 in there, have a box lunch right in the middle. They have card tables for us, and we clean up our mess and get it back on the bus. I don't let them go wandering around there because we got a type. Schedule to keep, and my bus riser get a tip if they're within 1 minute of my schedule.
And of course, the next thing you're going to do is go drive by the Capitol, the White House, and visit the Navy Memorial, and your buses just don't go on their own. They're escorted.
Yes, we have police escort, and I talked to some of the guys that do that, and he says, how do you like it? Oh, it's totally about power. We get to go where other people can't. The last one was our record time. We ran 25 red lights. And so we go just like El Presidente. We just cruise through Washington, D.C.
We got to stay on time, too, Jerry. But then you get to the feast of the day, the World War II Memorial.
Yes, we get them off there. I get all of them up in wheelchairs. We have a big, right by the Pacific there, have a picture. And then we honor them with the taps and dedicate a flag that was brought by one of the folks there. Then we go on down to the...
Korea Memorial,
same thing
Vietnam
there.
Memorials.
It'll be more Korea guys there than World War II, and it's difficult because it's not as big as the World War II Memorial. We have a couple of Vietnam guys, so we'll have a bugler go over there too. The next thing is going to a change of the guard. That's a very solemn and emotional thing for them.
At Arlington.
Arlington National Cemetery, and we get special privileges because we drive up there in the bus, and I have it at 5 o'clock so that way we can see the changing the guard and the lower end of the flag. And then we get on our buses, go to Arlington for the Columbus Club, a sit-down dinner on white tablecloths, and we bring in the Pentagon color guard and a singer. The last guy, he was about 6'8", and he sang this beautiful baritone song and the anthem and Pledge of Allegiance. It was wonderful.
Then you get them back to Sun Country, get them home, and there's a surprise when we get home. We're not going to talk about
that
today.
Yeah, that's
but Jerry,
right.
We're just about out of time. I want to talk to you about how do you pay for this? I know what you've told me in the past. The Lord will provide.
Well, he does. And we have honorariums that come just in February and January, excuse me, November, December, $26,000 in that. I've had people given me $50,000, $100,000. I never know where it comes from. And as I said before, the good Lord Jesus does our fundraising because it is a noble, wonderful cause, and we are taken care of. I solicit sometimes, but I don't have to work too hard to do that. We are taken care of. And
your website is honorflighttwincities.org. Jerry, one last question. How many more years do you think you can do this?
Well, I'm 74. I want to take care of my World War II and Korea veterans as long as they hang in there. And I think, though, that a Vietnam veteran's son should pick this thing up and take care of those gentlemen and ladies.
We'll have to find the appropriate person to do that. Jerry, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope you have two great honor flights this year. We want you to check in later and let us know how that's going. And please say hello to your bride, the lady that holds it all together for
us. Yes, sir. Jana does a great job. Bye-bye.
That was Jerry Kaiser from Honor Flight Twin Cities. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Pat Kelly. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom, and thanks for having me back.
Director, we had a little spring storm here. They called it a blizzard, and I hope all our veterans were able to navigate their appointments this week.
You know, I'm always impressed with our Minnesota veterans. You know, I'm ensuring that staff are here and ready to take care of them, and they are. And then people come for their appointments. I look out my window and parking lot's full. So we're still in good business over here.
Good thing you got that ramp and that walkway, sir.
That's been helpful. Yeah, it's that added about 500 parking spaces and occasionally it fills up. So yeah, we're making good use of that.
Director, as we've talked over the years, you've got many community-based outpatient clinics all over the state, and I understand there's some changes coming to Albert Lea and Shakopee.
Yeah, so Tom, we have 13 clinics and throughout Minnesota and western Wisconsin, and the idea, of course, behind those clinics is to provide health care to veterans closer to where they live, and so they always provide primary care and mental health services and telemedicine, and the larger ones provide some other more specialty related services. But our clinics in Albert Lea and Shakopee are growing a little bit, but the big change is that we are having we are converting those two clinics from contract sites to VA staffed locations. And so what it means is that, you know, again, it's going to be still similar services, but over the years have had a number of our locations run by contractors. VA, you know, it's our responsibility always. It's a VA clinic, but we've had contractors who supported us in running those areas, and we're converting those two sites, specifically Albert Lea and Shakopee, not because the contractors haven't done a good job, but it just gives us a little bit extra flexibility when we can have VA staff in there to do things relating to services and staffing. And so, yeah, that's going to happen in 2020. So we're about a year away, March 2020.
And, sir, I understand those outpatient clinics allow you to provide basic services closer to home for the veterans, and then they can come into the Minneapolis Medical Center, Minneapolis VA Medical Center, if need be.
Yeah, so it's always going to be primary care, so we'll have primary care teams in the clinics. We always have mental health services in those clinics. You know, we're having growing telemedicine services, so it is not uncommon now, Tom, for veterans to go to one of our community-based clinics, and they're hooked up from that clinic to their surgeon following a surgical procedure, dermatology, rheumatology. So we can provide more specialty care for veterans in their communities without them having to drive to Minneapolis. And I hear all the time from our veterans that if you don't have to drive to Minneapolis, deal with the traffic, deal with parking and all that kind of stuff. They prefer not to. So it really is our goal to provide more of those services in the communities where we have our CBOX, and we're going to be doing that more and more. So I think that's only going to get better.
Technology is improving everything, sir. Really? We've only got about 30 seconds left. Are you hiring?
We are always hiring. So thanks for asking me that question. So, you know, we have about 4,200 staff as part of our healthcare system, and we are always in need of doctors all the time, and, and uh, And nurses, you know, we have about 1,100 nurses that work here, and we are always turning over nurses and recruiting new nurses. So especially in our rural locations, we are always looking for doctors and nurses. VA is a good place to work. If anybody's interested, we would love to have your listeners come to work for the VA.
So all they need to do is go to the website for the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and they can find the information on jobs available to help our veterans.
Right.
Director, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We have several mentions today. First, come out to the Poorhouse in Minneapolis on Thursday, April 18th, to support the Minnesota Military Family Foundation at Heroes of Rock series featuring Alex Lightwood, former lead singer of Santana. Proceeds, auction, and raffle support the MMFF. Tickets available at Eventbrite or email jason@mcburley.com. Next, the Minnesota Veterans Home in Minneapolis will be hosting an on-site job fair on April 24th from noon to 5 p.m. The Minneapolis Home is looking for certified nursing assistants, licensed practical nurses, food service, housekeeping, facility operations, and more. Join their dedicated team in serving our nation's heroes. For more information, visit minnesotaveteran.org/Minneapolis Job Fair. And the 12th annual Scoops for Troops will be held at Arden Hills Training Site, 4761 Hamlin Avenue North, on Sunday, April 28th from 10 to 3. This family-friendly event raises money through Tribute to the Troops for post-secondary education for Gold Star families through participation in a 5K run, 3K walk, bake sale, food trucks, and silent auction. Join Goldie Gopher and the White Bear for all of the fun. For more information, go to scoopsfortroops.net. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Stephan Whitehead from the DAV of Minnesota, Jerry Kaiser from Twin Cities Honor Flight, Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we get our Red Bull 34th Infantry Division update from Kuwait and talk with the latest Yellow Ribbon Company. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.